Apple releases 5G phones this week. Flash player stops support in December. IBM splits into two companies. And wireless storage can be repurposed to supply data without internet access. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show. I am Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday right here on KVOI 1030 The Voice and streaming live on YouTube at the 1030 The Voice YouTube channel. We have a great informative show prepared for you today. You may have seen several notifications or even warnings about Adobe Flash being discontinued. That's Adobe, the Adobe Flash API and Flash Player being discontinued over the past few weeks as you open your browsers on your PC. What does this mean, and should you be concerned? Will your computer stop working in December on December 31st? It's a little bit nerve-wracking to find the answer for that, but we do have an answer to that question during our final segment. But first, highlights of tech news this week. If you got used to using your iPhone 11, don't worry. Apple releases iPhone 12 with 5G technology, claiming lower latency in densely populated areas with better encryption, security, expected to have real 5G, bragging 4 gigabit speeds. Again, that's 4 gigabit speeds in ideal locations and ideal conditions. Better performance in places like stadiums, airports, and other venues. Watching sports will change with multi-view broadcasting and improved fan experience technology. In cooperation with Verizon, it's releasing the Ultra 5G nationwide to 200 million people. The flat edge corners allow the 5G antennas around the edge, and a Super Retina XDR display, twice as many pixels as last year's model. With screen crack resistance 4 times less likely to crack when dropped. Apple now makes its own microchips, as reported earlier in the year, so iPhone 12 has the fastest CPU and GPU on any mobile device. Since most offices and homes are now also studios, filming in 4K at 60 frames per second are possible, making filming movies and TV shows not just possible, but making it an industry standard for filmmakers. The iPhone 12 is being released in 6 days on Friday, October 23rd, but pre-orders started yesterday. If this makes you feel bad about your current phone, just go back and watch some of the release videos of your model on YouTube. 109-year-old IBM has split into two companies. The CEO recognizes the changing needs of their client base with regard to cloud services, claiming to Wall Street that the cloud technology is a trillion-dollar industry. Combined with services such as AI, business data management, good old customer service, future partnerships with Adobe and Salesforce will apply a third layer of growth for the new company. Since there are different types of cloud services, the areas of expansion are huge. Leveraging hybrid cloud, leveraging artificial intelligence, leveraging the new normal of people working from home securely and safely. IBM will continue to function as IBM, but it has formed a new company called, temporarily I think, NewCo, which will accelerate cloud computing. I got a chance to interview a very forward-moving organization that found a very interesting application for wireless storage and how they are combating the data sharing challenges in areas that have no internet. Let's listen.
There is an organization that you may not expect to have accomplished some noteworthy technological marvels, such as the first motion picture with synchronized sound, the record for the most distributed magazine in the world, and currently the most translated website in the world in over 1,000 languages, smashing Google at 108 languages and Microsoft at 51 languages. Now, although they're not well known for their use and development of technology, they have accomplished several technological feats that I feel makes them worthy to be on our show today. Joining us from New York, Bryce Hemmelgarn. He is the U.S. branch office spokesperson for Jehovah's Witnesses. Hi, Bryce. How are you?
Hey, good, Aaron. Nice to be with you.
You know, one of the main reasons why we wanted to have you on the show today is an interesting application for a technology that you call JWBox and the benefits that it brings to offline communities that don't have access to the internet. So can you tell us exactly what exactly does JWBox do and how does it work?
Yeah, sure, Aaron. So it's a really actually exciting technology, and I think part of the excitement is how simple it is using existing technology to fill a real need that we have in our organization. So I think it's important just to establish a little bit that Jehovah's Witnesses, more than ever, are using electronic means. We're using video format to bring the positive message that is found in the Bible to people all across the globe. So that's kind of our principle of why we turn to technology to make that happen. So the JWBox is just a small electronic device about the size of your palm, relatively inexpensive, that can be preloaded with material. In this case, it's loaded with scriptural content, literature, video from the branch office within a particular country of Jehovah's Witnesses. And then it can be sent, it can be mailed to a remote location. There are many locations in Africa, for example, in South America, that due to expensive internet or no internet at all, have challenges downloading material that's available on our website, jw.org. So to fill that need, a JWBox is sent, for example, to a particular congregation, and then it can be connected to an external battery source to power it. And then those with devices can download the content that was preloaded on that and have it on their phone or their tablet for their personal use in their own homes with their families. So it's a simple solution. It's relatively inexpensive. It's a quick startup time, and it can be the technology can be taught pretty quickly to somebody.
Okay, so again, there's a box. It's about the size of your hand. It's electronic. It can be battery powered or powered with some other source. And how exactly does so it has information in it. So what would someone have to do to get information out of this box?
So the box comes coupled with a router and then some software that was designed by Jehovah's Witnesses. So that's included on every box. So when the box is sent to these remote locations, essentially it becomes like its own hotspot. So it doesn't rely or internet is not necessary for it to operate. So those in the congregation can perhaps come to the Kingdom Hall or a location and connect directly using that local hotspot and download the content right onto their phone or their tablet. So it's quick and easy, and it's a nice solution.
And it uses Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah, you're correct. It uses Wi-Fi.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing about it is just, you know, a little bit about where technology in the world is. You know, SpaceX, Tesla, Elon Musk, they're trying to develop similar technologies to accomplish the same goal of getting more people access to resources online. It seems that Jehovah's Witnesses already have a working model principle for their people. So this is a little bit, I don't want to say ahead of its time, because the technology is about 7 years old, and basically this device is what's called wireless storage. So it seems that you guys have repurposed a wireless storage device that's like off the shelf. And, you know, you can buy similar types of devices, you know, with off the shelf, you know, settings. But you've made a very interesting application to allowing a wireless storage to be used in some of these third world countries and other places that lack the infrastructure or even the cost advantage of people even having internet.
Yeah, that's a good point, Aaron. And I'll tell you, Jehovah's Witnesses were highly motivated when it comes to sharing Bible truth with people. There's a scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. where Jesus actually commanded and prophesied that you, speaking to his followers, that you will be witnesses of me in the most distant parts of the earth. So that's a that's a command that witnesses take very seriously. And back then,
to the most different. To the most distant part of the earth. Yes. So that's what this J.W. Box is actually doing. It is allowing people to have access to the internet to very distant areas that that there is no infrastructure yet, or it's just not cost effective.
That's right, and it's a solution that can be handled on a branch level within a country. So wherever there's challenges to download content because of that prohibitive cost for the internet or no internet at all, this is just such a nice solution for our brothers and sisters in countries like that.
Okay. Are these devices programmable in that, so if it's a wireless storage device, could someone reprogram it, or do they all come from the branch? Or can, if there's later content or other information that needs to be updated or spread to some of these areas, can someone take that to an area physically where internet does exist, load whatever data onto this storage, and then bring it back to their congregation or their village, and then share it from there? Is that possible?
That's an option for sure. Typically what happens, Aaron, is the branch office will load USB keys right there at the branch office with the most recent content, recent literature, recent content for congregation meetings, which of course includes videos and scripture, loads that on the USB key, and then ships that to the congregations in need. And then they can just simply connect that key to the JW Box, download all the recent content, and make it available to the congregation.
Okay, so the JW Box has a USB plug on it. So yes, you can load the content somewhere else and then bring that USB flash drive and plug it into the JW Box, and now it has all this extra content that can, updated content that can be shared again.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the arrangement as it stands. And then no one in these remote areas is dependent on downloading that content from unreliable internet, so it works really well.
Okay, one last question for you, Bryce. What other technologies are Jehovah's Witnesses working on right now?
Well, I think you mentioned something in your introduction that I'd like to highlight is our translation work. Our website, as you mentioned, jw.org, is the most widely translated website on the planet, and in particular, a lot of work has gone into translation of the Bible, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And while there's content in over 1,000 languages on JW.org, well over 100 languages are available with the New World Translation. So that's technology is heavily used in that type of work, too, to make it available to as many people in as many different languages around the globe. So that's an exciting part of the work that witnesses are involved with.
And just, I did a little bit research, a little bit into the archives too. Jehovah's Witnesses back in the, I think the 70s or 80s, maybe not that far back, were also developed a program called MEPS. And MEPS is multilingual. It's a multilingual program that they were doing translations using computers way before Google, way before Microsoft. You know, they produced their own program. So these are some amazing technology feats that people will just marvel at in the technology world.
Yeah, that's a term that you don't hear too many times these days, MEPS, but it's multi-language electronic photo typesetting system, which you're right, it was developed decades ago and very heavily used in the early days of translation work, and continues to be used for this work. But it does show the dedication witnesses have to this work. and how long they've been doing it.
Right.
So it goes back.
Right,
several,
and you really take that scripture about to the ends of the earth. You really, obviously, you're very motivated for that. Well, Bryce, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today. Bryce Hamilgarn, U.S. Branch Office Spokesperson for Jehovah's Witnesses, sharing with us useful technology being put into the offline communities and third world countries. We'll probably have you on the show at some future time. Have a good one.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
That was a great interview. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, what you need to know about the end of flash support. We'll also try to take some of your calls on our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show on KVOI 1030 Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Distracted driving has become a deadly epidemic. Saving one life from the hand of a distracted motorist is totally worth it. Commit to safe driving. Commit to following the law. And most importantly, commit to saving lives. Reckless and distracted driving is the number one killer of teenagers in America. Safety is everyone's responsibility. Pledge to give driving the 100% attention it deserves. Phones down, eyes up. Just drive. Sponsored by Look Save a Life, in memory of Paul Garcia and Caitlin Festerling.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. If you or your programs commonly use Adobe Flash, you might have some blocked content come December 31st. The reason why? Adobe is discontinuing the end of life with a lot of these programs that they have, especially Flash Player. It was announced 3 years ago, so you really can't really be too upset about Flash ending. That Adobe end of life would happen this year. So they gave us 3 years notice. Here are some things that you do need to know. If your website was designed with motion graphics or picture slides more than 3 years ago, there's a chance that your website might be using Flash, especially if you have those slides or pictures on your website. We do have a caller on the line with a couple of questions. Roberta is on line one. Hi, Roberta.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have two quick questions, if I may.
Sure.
One is the Bible read on the iPhone in English for someone with low vision?
Absolutely. I believe you can. Actually, the answer to that question is yes. What's the answer to your other question?
Oh, well, I was wondering if I could get a site how to look it up. I'm very inept when it comes to...
Oh, okay.
phone.
Hey, Tom, can you take Roberta back? Get her phone number. I'm going to give her a call after the show. Okay? Thank you, Roberta. I'll speak to you in a little bit.
Thank you so much.
So if you had a website that was designed maybe a few years ago, maybe about 3 years ago, if anything, that site could possibly be using Flash. And what that basically means is after December 31st, anyone that may be trying to access that website, their Flash on their computer will not be working. So you want to make sure that you're updating your website and make sure that your website that you currently have up does not use any Flash. If there is anything in your business where life is a mission, where your life is like a mission critical that uses Flash Player or Flash API, you should find an alternative. So this can, this type of technology is one of these situations where if you have a mission critical computer application where it is actually very, very important for you and this application actually uses Flash, here's what you want to do. You want to uninstall Flash like as soon as possible, okay, and see if that program still works while Flash is uninstalled. What that's going to do is that's going to mimic December 31st. And if December 31st comes in real time and you are not all of a sudden not able to use your programs, then you would have to kind of fumble around or scrounge for a solution. And that's not something that you want to do, like especially if it's something that is mission critical. But to keep your mind at ease, in 2015, popular websites such as YouTube and Facebook and other social media websites, they've already switched from using a Flash Player to the HTML5 version of Player and some of the HTML5 tools. So a lot of the more popular websites that have kept up to date, a lot of them have already stopped using Flash. Now, there are some older gaming websites, some of, you know, like the little kids game sites or like the little Flash games. Unfortunately, we may have to kiss those games goodbye for good unless these websites have updated their infrastructure to not include the Flash player. Now, there's several of these sites that are out there that I know that they were in operation at least within the past year because I sometimes go to them myself. And they always ask you to turn on your Flash player switches on your browser. So I know that there are sites that are still using them, but we need to make sure that they are turned off. Well, we need to make sure that they're turned on, obviously, to play the games, but we may have to go to another gaming website if we like playing these web games. Now, historically, when a manufacturer of major software product has an end of life, which is exactly what this is an end of life for Adobe Flash Player. So when Adobe Flash Player is going to end, does that mean that all of your computer and everything that you have on your computer is going to fail? Well, no, it doesn't exactly mean that because there are lots of things that have end of life. There was the end of life of Windows 7. There was end of life of Windows XP. End of life of lots of major programs that had a really, really large following. In none of those cases did the entire infrastructure just completely collapse. What Adobe is saying on their official website is that the Adobe Flash is actually going to Adobe Flash is actually going to block any content that's requesting access to use it. Now, of course, there's all kinds of, you know, workarounds for that. You could always change the date on your system to backdate it so that it will make it function. But it's saying that it will be blocked. But again, historically, content continues to function. There's a good chance that this content is going to continue to function as normal until the system gradually outdates, until the computer will become more and more difficult to use. It's going to start giving you all kinds of problems with this, all kinds of problems with that. And it's going to, you're going to end up being pushed into a position where you have to start updating your computer anyway. Anyway, Adobe is recommending removal of the Flash Player program from the programs list of your PC. So it might be a good idea to start doing that right away. We would like to thank our awesome sponsors, Icon Power, Perfect Look Photography, and Ugly Goose Car Rental. Please do business with these companies. They are local, and they help keep this show on the air. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY 1030 The Voice. And we want to thank Roberta for calling in with her questions. And you're always welcome to call in with any of your questions during any of these shows. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And talk to you again next week.
Enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at computerdoctorshow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@computerdoctorshow.com.